Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this privilege. Thank you for a day like this. You are our Father, which art in heaven. We say, hallowed be thy name today. It is who you are that has made us who we are. There is no Father to compare ourselves or to emulate or to learn from than you, our greatest Father in heaven. I want to pray and say thank you for all the years, all the days, all the times that you've been a father to us. And we appreciate all those who you have sent into our life to also be fathers to us, biological fathers, spiritual fathers, fathers-in-law, fathers in the Lord, and all the types of fathers that we are blessed with. But thank you. Today we celebrate them. We thank you for their lives. Those who have contributed, those who have not contributed, those who we have a relationship with, those we don't have a relationship with, we thank you for all of them. For all those things have come together to make us who we are today. We're grateful to you for that. We pray that, Lord, you will speak to our hearts, you affect our lives, and that you not allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And somebody said, amen. You may please be seated. Wow. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord on a day like this, Father's Day. Happy Father's Day again to all the fathers who are here and the fathers who are not here. I have a very, very special Happy Father's Day message, isn't it? I just want to say this whilst we take off, that, you know, it's not everybody who has the privilege to have a father to be around. You know, many of us, fathers are either around or not around. Some fathers are around, but we don't feel them. You know, some fathers know how to. Some fathers don't know how to. Just want to encourage you that don't let your heart turn away from your father. It is not a blessing. All right. No matter what you see your father as, you have not become a father as yet. Or even if you have become a father, you also have your things. Is that not so? Right. And it's not very, very, very easy to be a father. Especially when you grew up in an environment where you didn't learn how to be a father from your father. How can you do something that you have not been given? Is the Bible says something in 2 Corinthians, I think chapter 1 and verse 4. The Bible says that, you know, God comforts us so that we are able to comfort those who will need comfort with the comfort that we have received. You see, go to verse 3, let's start from verse 3. And the Bible says that, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So it is God's comfort that we receive that makes it possible for us to comfort others. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. I can't give you what I don't have. So we have to, as Christians, be a little considerate in how we look at our fathers. That, you know, it's not everything that is their fault. And that we should be grateful that we have been released into this world. It's a blessing. And if biological father is not, you know, that sufficient, there is your heavenly father. If your heavenly father is sufficient in everything. If you need somebody to relate with, you have a father-in-law. Father-in-laws are also good fathers. You have spiritual fathers, your father in Christ, your father in the church. You have all these things around. So don't be offended. Turn to someone and tell them, don't be offended. And have a free spirit so that you too, when you err, that it will also not be used against you. What do you think about that? Wonderful. But this morning, God is speaking to us as his children. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says that my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Hear the instruction of thy father. The preaching you're hearing from me, from the church, is not Pastor Colin speaking to you. It is God who is speaking to you. I say it is God who is speaking to you. Because if you were to ask me to speak to you, I will not open the Bible. I'll tell you some African stories or something. Some African, once upon a time, there was a man sitting under a tree. That's something of that sort will I tell you. But I am speaking from the Bible, and the Bible is God's word to us. So the Bible says that my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. The Bible says in verse 9, that for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head. Just as they crown Miss Guyana and they put something on their head and they walk around. The Bible says that if you hear the instruction of your father, you will also be given an ornament on your head. And it shall be chains about your neck, not chains like dog chain. You're talking about jewelry. You're talking about necklace. You're talking about gold chain around your neck. That's how paying attention to your father's instructions, the laws of your mother, will turn you to be. This Sunday morning, God wants to speak to us about marriage. Bible says marriage is honorable above all. We are talking about marriage. Marriage is not a human being's idea. God is the one who created marriage. It is God's instruction. God wants us to marry. God wants you to marry. God wants you to marry rather than stay home or leave home. That is the father's instruction. Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and he shall join together with his wife, and the two shall be one. What therefore God has put together, let no man put asunder. God is a promoter and a supporter of marriage. And he's giving instruction to you that instead of hiding the boy or hiding the man and staying home and doing common law, there's nothing like common law. You should marry, you should hear what God is saying, and marry and done. Yes. If you want to have sex, you better marry. Sex is not for sale. I'm preaching a nice message. That's Father's Day message to you. Yeah. You want to break? You have to marry. No. And it starts with choosing a wife. The Bible says, he who finds a wife, it means you must go searching and you must find a woman. And then there's a way. We are talking about Christianity. We are talking about how God wants marriage to be. So there's a way you start. I'm not talking about the way you started. I'm talking about what the Father wants us to do, how you start it. The Father has a way. And if we are going to listen to our Father's instructions, then an ornament of grace will be placed on our head. Then there'll be a chain around our necks. Then we'll be glorified. We'll be adored. We'll be raised. We'll be honored. Are you with me? Are we going to listen to our father's instruction? That's all. If you're a parent, the most important thing your father will expect you is to listen to his advice. Prince, isn't it? Why have you bowed down your head? I'm sure daddy would want you to listen to what he's trying to tell you all the time. The problem we'll have with our children is when they don't listen to us.
True of us, mothers, fathers, uncles, grandmothers. The most important thing is in listening to what daddy is saying. You have to listen. And if you don't listen, that's where you get wrong. Yeah, it is always about the father's instruction. So God is also saying that on Father's Day, you have come to the church. Then also I have something to tell you. And I want you to listen to my instructions. You see, so there's a way we start a Christian relationship. And there's a way we carry on a Christian relationship. In Christian relationship and in marriage, Christians, we don't divorce. You see, you will divorce, but God doesn't want that to happen. And the fact that you divorce doesn't mean that I shouldn't talk to you. But that if you were to ask your father, is it good to divorce or not? He will tell you his peace of mind. And if somebody's listening to me today, welcome, boss man wife. Women don't get jealous. So every day I mention Basman wife. I'm sure. So me, when I come, he's saying, welcome to me. Why are you so jealous? Why are you jealous? Yeah? You to become a Basman wife so that we can also say you're welcome. Because women, they can easily become jealous. So, hey, why every Sunday you gotta say Basman wife? Is she the only wife who's around? And me too, I is a wife too. I sing in the choir and all them to me. He's saying, welcome to me. I beg you, don't be jealous. There's only one bossman wife in the church. So God is speaking to us about how to start a Christian relationship that leads into marriage. Let's go to Deuteronomy. I want to show you something in Deuteronomy. So you find a beloved, isn't it? Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 13. So you choose somebody and then you start what you call dating. Abena, you date. How do we do it in Christianity? Because it's not how you want to do it, you know. How does God, your father, wants you to date somebody? That's what we are here for. Jugu, if you ask me, how do I date somebody? Oh, I take her to my house right away. I start enjoying. I'm breaking left, right, and center. But how does God want me to do or to be and stay in a Christian dating relationship? Figuera, are you there? How does God want it to happen? 8 years of nonsense. Huh? If a man, so listen to this one. This is the Old Testament, but I'm giving you an idea of something that was written as a law. But now God wants us to carry it in our hearts and in our minds. The Bible says that if a man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her, can you give us maybe a simpler version? Because I don't want to do a lot of explanation. Sometimes some of them are very explanatory. Suppose a man marries a woman and after sleeping with her, I like this one. After sleeping, not sleeping like I'm sleeping, after having sex with her, this is not a good version. After sleeping with her, changes his mind about her. Then he goes on to say, and falsely accuses her of having slept with another man. He might say, I discovered she was not a virgin when I married her. Hey, some people will be in trouble right now. You see, so it means that in Israel, when people marry people, when a man marries a woman, she must be a virgin. Yeah, she's expected to be a virgin. So if he marries her and he discovers that she's not a virgin, there are some things that must happen. Go ahead. Verse 4, he says, if the man does this, the woman's father and mother must bring the proof of her virginity to the leaders of the town. This is a public business, so it's not no private business, public. Go on. Her father must tell them, I gave my daughter to this man to be his wife, and now he has turned against her. He has accused her of shameful things, claiming that she was not a virgin when he married her. But here is the proof of my daughter's virginity. So in those days, they had proofs of a daughter's virginity. Maybe you go to the hospital and then the doctor gives you a virginity report. Yeah, x-ray, you know. ECG or something, you know, so that when, by the time you marry her, the father has a proof of it, that he has taken care of his daughter. The daughter has not defiled herself. So this is the proof. So now if you are saying that when you went inside and the place is not the way you expected it to be, then if you come and do that, then the father and mother will come with a proof. Doctor's virginity report. She's clean. Michelle, she's clean. But here's the proof of my daughter's virginity. Then they must spread the cloth before the judges. Mm-hmm. The judges must then punish the man. It's one of the things they used to do in those days, which the Muslims, used to do somewhere, is that the first night when you sleep with a wife, you sleep on a white bedsheet. So once you break her virginity, the sheet must be red. And that sheet is given to the parents. So if the man now comes and says, oh, it's not true, that's the proof they had. It was always customary that you sleep on a white bedsheet. And the morning when you wake up, the bedsheet must be given, handed over to the parents. Because once you're a virgin, the hymen will break, blood will come. You know, this one is not by, you can't. And I'm saying, oh, no. Tomato ketchup cannot work in this case, you know. This one is not American Hollywood movies that when they buy the ketchup in their mouth and then it's sort of blood. It's not blood, it's ketchup they have in their mouth. So once they prove it, the judges must then punish the man for disgracing the woman. So then he goes on to say, they will fine him 100 pieces of silver. For he has falsely accused a virgin of Israel. The payment will be made to the woman's father. The woman will then remain the man's wife. And he may never divorce her. That's a punishment. You see, so when you sleep with, this one is even a wife who they've officially, traditionally handed her over to you. You've had sex with her and now you're coming to say, no, she wasn't a virgin. What about the woman who you have not officially married and you've had sex with? Well, think about the procedure and the process you have to go through to the woman's father. 100 pieces of silver. There are many young men here who you have to pay 100 pieces of diamond. And he said, you may never divorce her. It means that the girl that you first slept with, you should not leave that girl. You should marry her. Because you have done something that you are not supposed to do. Or you have done something that you can't leave her now for anybody else to come and take care. That's how serious it was. Let's go ahead. 20. But suppose the man's accusations are true. And her virginity could not be proved. Then what happens? In such cases, the judges must take the girl to the door of her father's home, and the men of the town will stone her to death. Hey, thank God for grace. Oh. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. When we are singing, you don't understand. Shorty? If you are found to have your hymen broken before the marriage, then the Bible says that they should take you, the woman, to the door of her father's home, and the men of the town will stone her to death. That's how when the Pharisees found the woman who had committed adultery, when they brought her to Jesus, they wanted to stone her to death because of this law. She has committed a disgraceful crime in Israel by being promiscuous, is a word, while living in her parents' home. It means that whilst you are living in your parents' home, you're not supposed to have sex. You have sex in your own home with your own husband. Such evil must be cleansed from among you. Hey, church, Christians, are we reading the Bible well? The Bible, God is calling that evil. You go on to verse 22. If a man is If a man is discovered committing adultery, both he and the other man's wife must be killed. In this way, the evil will be cleansed from Israel. Hey, this is what Jesus' blood came to wash away. That's why we don't kill you. We are not dead up to now, because the blood of Jesus has taken care of the death we should have gone through. For the wages of sin is death. That's how you and I are still alive. We are still in the church. And that's why nobody can point finger at us, even though we are not that perfect, because the blood has taken care of that issue. That doesn't mean that you should. 23. Did I finish this one? Suppose a man meets a
young woman, a virgin who is engaged to be married, and he has sexual intercourse with her. If this happens within a town, you must take both of them to the gates of the town and stone them to death.
Prince, you understand what the Bible talking to you about? This is not Pastor Colin saying something. This is in the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 22. Go back to 23. Suppose a man meets a young woman, a virgin, who is engaged to be married, and he has sexual intercourse with her. If this happens within a town, you must take both of them to the gates of the town and stone them to death. How many of you would have been dead? Shorty and Andreska, you are sitting in front. How many of you would have been dead by now? All the nice ladies, good looking, powder lipstick, all of you sitting around. How many of you would have been dead by now? Eh? Boss, my wife, how many of us would have been dead by now? He says, the woman is guilty because she did not scream for help. Because she likes it. The man must die because he violated another man's wife. In this way, you will cleanse the land of evil. Go ahead. But if the man meets the engaged woman out in the country and he rapes her, then only the man should die. So rape, the punishment for rape is death. They can't tell us no death penalty. A queen from the British embassy can't tell us that we should abolish death penalty. When people kill people just like that, they must also be killed. I'm speaking as a civil, not as a pastor. I forgive people when they do. But if I may, as a judge or police officer, I will prosecute them and give them death penalty. Then only the man should die. 26. Do nothing to the young woman. She has committed no crime worthy of death. This case is similar to that of someone who attacks and murders a neighbor. 27. I think we go to 20 anyway. Since the man raped her out in the country, it must be assumed that she screamed, but there was no one to rescue her. The Bible is nice, though. Those of you who don't read the Bible. 28. If a man is caught in the act of raping a young woman who is not engaged, he must pay 50 pieces of silver to her father. Then he must marry the young woman because he violated her, and he will never be allowed to divorce her. What am I driving at? We're talking about when you are dating. It's a period where certain things should not happen. Because all the things we are reading, we're reading about when you become intimate when you're not supposed to become intimate. When you sleep with somebody against the person's will, or you sleep with somebody who you are not married to. There were rules in those days. And that's how come when Joseph found, before Joseph slept with Mary, he discovered that Mary was pregnant. That's why Joseph decided to break the whole relationship, except for an angel. In Matthew chapter 1, except for an angel who appeared in a dream, God spoke to Joseph and said, don't do that. Because really what should happen is that as I have engaged and I'm going to marry you, I am not supposed to have anything with you. I have not done anything with you. So how come now you are pregnant? So it's something that has to be addressed. And the solution is that I have to leave you. So in Christian dating, somebody say Christian dating. How should we behave ourselves? I want to give you one or two points, three or four points, and then we will
be out of here.
What? How should we behave when we are dating in Christianity?
Some of you, you may not have the chance to do this because you are a graduate already. I'm talking to the freshmen and the first years. Some of you have degrees and temperatures. So it might not be relevant to you at this time. But we want to save those who we can save. All right? We want to salvage those things that can be salvaged. All right? These are some of the things you should avoid in a relationship. That's what Godfrey Hunt didn't know. What he didn't want to do. You have violated. It's a violation. No, you should kill you. You come and sit in the church and you skin your teeth. He slap you. If it wasn't by the grace of God. Look at what we have here. Number one, you should avoid hugging, holding, and kissing. Avoid hugging, holding, and kissing. If you are in love with somebody, hugging, kissing as a Christian is not the right thing to do. Because I don't know how you say this here, but you see, things start from small things. Is there a proverb? Is there something we say in Guyanese like that? Little drops of what? Little dotty, build dam. One dotty, build dam. You answer, I'm telling you. One dotty, build dam. Right? So, if you're going to be hugging, you love this Christian sister. You want to marry her. And you always hugging she. Always hugging she. Hey, electricity. I tell you, 220 volts will run through you. Yeah. So when you are dating or you are beloved, avoid hugging. Avoid holding. Avoid kissing. No kissing. Don't kissing. Because small dirty build dam. Yeah. You don't want to build a dam when you are not the minister of dam affairs, public infrastructure. So avoid those things. It will only complicate the relationship. It will only make you do something that God does not want you to do. Don't sit on his lap. When you are talking, you are fellowshipping, don't sit on his lap. It's close, no? Too close. Because if you sit on his lap, little dirty, is it? One dirty gombel dam. Now you be honest. Right, a young man, you be honest. Are you okay, sir? You alright? You be honest. If a young lady sits on your lap, bring a chair. Bring your chair. I want a young lady, bring your chair. Sit down. I want a volunteering young lady. Who volunteer? he's telling me not somebody with a big bum. He can't handle it. Go ahead, sit down. Take your chair. Whether it's big bum or not. A young man like him who is not married, if a young lady sits on his lap, you forget your name. I tell you. You forget. When I ask you, what's your name? You say,
My name is James Bond. You mentioned another name. Yeah. 1-1 Dottie Bill Dan. So don't sit on his lap. Some ladies can be very bold and very, well, you know, this is my beloved, it's my...
No.
Yeah, I'm very outrageous, right? No, you have to be a Christian. Don't stay indoors alone with your beloved for long periods. You and he alone in a room. You say, yes, the church knows that we are beloved. Don't be in a room alone. 1-1 Dottie. I said 1-1 Dottie. Yeah. Joylene, 1-1 Dottie. Yeah. Joylene, 1-1 Dottie. You skinning your teeth? 1-1 Dottie. Yeah. She can't say it. You go build a town. You see, once you are in a room alone with somebody you love, ideas will come. Ideas, thoughts. And then as I go, let me hold your hand, man. Hey, have you been, you healed, right? I can touch you. Okay. You hold his hand. And then when you hold the hand, then you, man, draw me closer, right? Then things begin to run through you. Young blood is very strong blood, though. Yeah. Whereas you're embarrassing yourself. Don't be alone in isolated places at odd hours. That's what many of you Christian girls do in the church. You are alone with somebody in isolated places at odd hours. Yeah? See walls in somebody's vehicle. 1-1 Dottie. You're building dams on the seawall. You become minister of public infrastructure. Who told you we want you to build anything? We have a seawall already. Don't be alone in isolated places at odd hours. Okay, make sure that you are where people are, right? It's very, very important to be where people are so that, you know, even if you have get any feelings, you know, there's some. Are you there? Don't put your hands under the skirt. It's illegal. What did Job say? Don't put your hand under her skirt. Or through the flap. You're opening people's flap like that. You become a zipper. You're unzipping and zipping and things like that. Don't lie on the same bed with your beloved. Oh, no, she came to visit me and then we were tired, so we're just relaxing. You and I know what all these things leads to. I don't even have to tell you. We are trying to live a Christian life now. So we must do things better. The Father's instruction. Many people have become, things have happened to people as they've lied on the same bed with people. Don't undress in the presence of your beloved. Yeah. Hey, you feel hot, right? You sweat. You're undressing. I come in just now, right? I'll go on a bed, okay? Then we're going to go. Hey! You are inviting trouble. Don't fondle the bobby. No laying on of hands. No stirring up of any gift in somebody's life by the laying on of your hands. Don't touch the breast. Because for many women, they are very, very sensitive in their breast. The moment you touch the breast, you black out, you spark a fire. Yeah, and you come touch breast and you get shock. So did somebody get electrocuted this morning? I think I saw a headline. Somebody got electrocuted somewhere. Breast can electrocute you. No, breast is a very nice thing. It's a very nice thing. Prince, do you agree? It's tender. How do you know it's tender? You were told. You read it in a book. Your face. No, you can't be dating in Christianity in the church world and be touching breast. You should go to Deuteronomy 22. When you do things that you are not supposed to do, the problems that it comes with it. We may not have that these days, but it is something that is in our conscience. It must be in our heart. It must be in our spirit. That if I have not done what is right to do, I should not also assess the things I should not assess. You can have somebody's bank pass and then you are trying to go, withdraw money from their account. This is not right. You can't also meet a young lady that you say you are going to marry, but before you realize you've already married her, we don't even know. That's not how Christian dating works. Don't fondle her breast or the vagina. Don't touch her vagina or the penis. Yeah. I said, yeah. Don't touch the private areas of somebody you are going to marry. Some people say, you're going to get married, so. But you see, something that people don't understand when it comes to these seasons and these times is that you may even do it and keep quiet about it. Right? That's what many Christians do. They do it and then they keep quiet. You wipe their mouth. So when they come to church and all of that, it's like nothing has happened. But the problem about these things is that when you marry finally, then your trust is actually broken. So when you see your spouse with another person talking, then you begin to think about what he did with you secretly. Whether it's also likely here. You entertain because it happened with you. So it is very difficult to trust a partner who has touched you before and married you to see him with somebody talking and gaffing and then feeling very nice about it. It very hardly happens. And that is something that many people don't realize. That we can, you see, Bible says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. So if you're in a church, and you say, that's why we say that if you are interested in somebody in the church, you must make it known to the pastors, to the elders of the church. Make it known. Let's understand what is happening. Let's guide you. Let's lead you. Let's help you. Don't do things secretly. Because even though we do things, you bear a certain burden. Many people struggle in their marriages because of that. Because he could do for me, he could do for you, he could do for me, he could do for you, he could do for me. Yeah, because if he did it with me, the pastor didn't know, the church didn't know, and we used to go to church and raise our hands quietly and praise the Lord. Then this lady who has been texting him and be calling him, I used to be, he could do for you, he could do for me. Oh, you don't understand what I'm trying to say. So even though nobody will know, the church wouldn't know, the pastor wouldn't know, you will bear a certain burden in the relationship. The which can cause a lot of problems. Because the history is not so nice for you. Now, we are human beings. We can't easily forget things. Yeah, those we forgive, but we don't forget. So even though something, yes, we sinned, we didn't do what we were supposed to do and all of that, nobody should know. Okay, fine. When you enter into the real thing, now the problems begin to set in. Because we used to do things that nobody knew. Now, when they travel, they leave you alone in the house, and they are wondering, who is there? Are you alone? Oh, yes, I'm alone. Why? What do you mean? He said, no. I thought I heard somebody's voice. Oh, it's the TV. He said, girl, you sure it's the TV? Look at where we have gone to. Because he knew that when you were even in the presence of God, you were not afraid. How much more when he is not around?
It's a very difficult price to pay. Don't fondle the breast, the vagina, or the penis. No lollipop when you are dating. No icicle when you are dating. Know what? Prince, you seem to know these things, pal. You read it in the book, okay. Don't have sex with your beloved. This is fornication. No sex with a person you're going to marry. It is called fornication. It is called fornication. If you've never heard fornication before, having sex with somebody you are not yet married to is fornication. The Bible, this is our Father's instruction. You may interpret it as love, you may interpret it as whatever, but the Father says, it is fornication. Now, before we close, the woman has a lot of control when it comes to beloveds. You see, because no matter how erected the penis is, it needs a place to go inside. No matter how erected it is, it must find a place. It must find a safe haven. Now, so then the woman now must decide, am I going to be his safe haven or not? Yeah. The woman must be in control of the relationship. She must have a great deal of respect for herself and never allow anyone to mess about with her. Yeah. Some of you ladies, what normally happens to you is that you'll be in a relationship with this guy and say he's going to marry. Before you realize, he's not interested in you anymore. And he moves on. And men, it's easy for men to move on. But now you, the woman, you are stuck with a lot of emotional issues. But men just move on very fast. Women, not so fast. When a man sleeps with a woman, the woman interprets it as love, but the man just interprets it as just sex. Yeah. You hardly find a man who really loves you and those things. Women interpret things differently from men. When a man says, make children for me, a woman interprets that as a love. But love is wedding ring right in front of the church. That's what we call love. After that, I'll give you what you want. Morning, afternoon, day, and night. Not be tea, breakfast, dinner, not before that. Yeah. Women interpret things differently. Sometimes some women, their bodies develop faster than their brains. Yeah. And some of you girls here, your body has developed further than your brain. You have a little breast, you have a little bumsy, you have a little this. So when you walk in town, you behave as if you is a big woman. But you is nothing. Your brains are not even enlarged. You mean common sense, you don't have some. You don't even know how to wash your vagina even.
Don't get me vexed.
Yeah. Some of you like young girls need to listen to this again. 13, 14, 15, 12, 17. You walk around like you're a big woman, but your brains are not developed. Yeah. Having a beautiful face doesn't mean that your brains are also beautiful. So watch it. Some of you don't even know what you want in a man. That's why one day this little boy, where's Clive? Where's Clive Thomas? When one day I came around and he brought the subject of a beloved. I said, you and me got nothing to discuss about beloved. It's the wrong subject. Talk about Bible, talk about prayer. Talk about holiness. Talk about working and getting some money. Don't, girl, me and you got nothing for discuss about girl. If you get feelings for sex, go and put the cold water on yourself and go and sleep. Say, you and me got no discussions about girl. Use a little bye. We want to focus on sending you to go and study to become a preacher. Girl? What do you mean by girl? Talk about food. Yeah. I'll be happy to discuss food with you. Tell me, Rev, I'm hungry. I need to buy some Graham Sanders roll for you. Don't bring subject of girl. Because what would he do with a girl? Just wine punch she. That's all. Yeah. Brock off, he back. Yeah. One damn. One dirty build dam. How can Clive have a discussion with me on beloved? He doesn't even have a bed. Yeah. You should see him and mosquitoes in the night. He want girl? Hello. Don't let me talk girl. Let's talk about studying. Let's talk about foundation. Building yourself a good foundation. When the foundation is built, then you can put on wooden house or concrete house. It doesn't matter. At least you have a strong foundation. You ain't got no foundation. You got land. You say you want build. Reverend, I want to put a house on a land. How do you build a house on a land? One dirty. I've learned something today. So the woman is most of the time in control and must be in control. Because you see, women don't get so hot all the time. There are some of you women who get so hot easily. You need to go let your thermostat be adjusted. Come, let me pour some oil on you. So your heat and things will be regulated. Figuera. That's what I tell you. Uh-huh. Do they have injection at the hospital that if you feel you can inject yourself, you everything will disappear? Tell the doctors to design something like that. I'll give a lot of people injection here in the church. When Max begins to get feelings, comes like giving some injection. So you sleep. When you wake up, you forget everything. But a woman is mostly held responsible for the things that happen. Because as for a man can easily. Is it not true? A man is flash like that, hot. A little, the light is on. A man sees a woman just going and walking. And it's just like that. And the women are wondering, what wrong with he? He mad. Is something wrong with his head? Yeah. Yeah. Because when a man sees a woman, yeah. But a woman,
It's a little, even you see, when the woman is even ready for sex, you don't even know. You have to be taught. And when a man is ready for sex, you can see it straight away. Straight. You can see straight away. Straight away.
If you look into his pants, you say, that boy gets some bad mind. He get bad mind. Stand to your feet, my time is up. Hallelujah. One dirty. Build down. Yeah.
We are talking about prove all things. How to Christian dating. Many people don't know that.
And that's why I've gone over these things. You may think that it's not important. It's not necessary. It is.
Because sometimes you should also be able to advise, talk to a young girl and tell the young girl, you know what? Me, when I was like you, I never happened to me. Many people can't say that, can't share that testimony. Where when you were younger, before you got married, you never knew a man before you married. Many people can't share that testimony. Many people can't share that testimony. And once you can't share that testimony, you take something away from the power of your testimony, you know.
Because they say, are you telling me something you didn't do? It's like, you want to
put something on me that is not real.
Are you awake?
Yeah, we want to see virgins in the church.
Huh, Stefan, want to see virgins. Lady virgins, men virgins.
Can we count on that? Can we count on virgins? Leave us America. Can we ask the children in this church to be virgins? Can we have people like that? We can boast that in Lighthouse Chapel, hey, our girls, share. Don't play with them. They are clean. This is the proof. We can prove it to you with the bed sheet.
Yeah. Me, I'm going to behave like the Israelites. I'm going to have a bed sheet on the first night. Yeah. Yeah. They better use ketchup or something if it's not true. Yeah. As for ketchup, when you wash it, to go away. We'll see. I will provide a white bed sheet. I said, bye. I'm giving you a clean white bed sheet. Give it to me early in the morning with stains inside. Yeah, the color must change. If not, let me know. We'll take them out in front of their father's house and stone them to death. We will reactivate the laws of Moses upon some of these girls. Ote, you skinny your teeth. You watch, Uncle Brian is waiting for you. You play the thing in the house. Hallelujah. Sometimes it even makes you feel bad when we talk about some of these things, isn't it? Yeah, it's like, you know, but it's good, bad. It's a feeling of a bad feeling that is good.
Yeah. Because there are certain things some of us have not tasted, cannot boast of. Not because you couldn't, but you just didn't know.
I don't want you to feel bad, but I just want to teach something. That's why I said some people are already gone, but some people are coming. We have to save. Where's Chantel? She come today? Chantel, you hear what I'm telling you? This one, she gone. She's a doctorate in all them things. It finished. You, we are looking at. Looking at you. Yeah. If you give the white bed sheet, you are wasting your time. The thing done gone, man. It's finished. Mr. Nelson is in the house today. Hey. You, not you. I'm talking about a big man. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all the things you want us to do, the life you want us to live, the purity, the holiness.
the integrity you want us to have as your children and as your people. I pray the Lord will have young men and young women in the church who give themselves to these teachings, to these doctrines, and to these sayings of yours, that indeed the ornament of grace will be placed on their head. It is not impossible. It's not far-fetched. Therefore, we believe that we have a generation like that who will stand undefiled, pure, and has not been touched. We have those things in our church. We believe we have those things and those people in our church. Thank you for blessing us with such blessings. In Jesus' name. You are here this morning, you don't know Jesus. You want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want a relationship with my Father, my Heavenly Father. I want a deeper relationship with God. Pastor, please pray with me if you are here like that. Wherever you are, just lift up your right hand. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Pastor, I want a deeper relationship with my Father, God, my Father. I know I He's my Father, but we are not at the best of terms. I want to go deeper. Pastor, please pray with me if you're here like that. Just lift up your right hand. I'll pray with you. Pastor, please. I want to have a deeper relationship with my Father, God, my Father. God bless you. God bless you. If you lifted up your right hand, I want to ask you to come to me. Come, I want to pray with you. Come. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them. Clap for them as they come. You lifted up your hand. Come to me in the front. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, clap for them. Oh, are you not generous? God bless you. I'm coming to Father God. I want to have a better relationship with Father God. God bless you. God bless you. Clap for them. Young people. Young people. We want them to be holy. Virgins. Ladies who have not been touched. Men who have not seen these things before. Clap for them as they come. Knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me up. It's not late. Come. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Only you want to join them? Come. It's not too late. You want to join them? Come. You want to join them? Come. It's not late. Give your heart to Jesus. Build a better relationship with God. Say, Pastor, I need a stronger relationship with my Heavenly Father. Come to the front. I want to pray with you. I want to say a prayer over your life. Come to the front. I belong to you. Close your eyes with me, those in front. Church, let us all pray this prayer together. You see, we have nice young men who are here. When I see young men, I get stirred up, because these are pastors. God bring young men into the church so they can become pastors. We are not a church who's men. Men are coming to be pastors. That's what we believe in. When the ladies come, they come to become pastors' wives. So if you're here in front, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am sorry that I am far away from you. But I repent and I come to you just as I am. Forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me of all my disobedience and my hardened heart. And forgive me of every sin. I stand in your presence right now. And I'm asking you for another chance. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. Wash me from everything that is evil. And come and live in my heart, Lord Jesus. Make my heart your home. I pray that from today, my relationship with you, Heavenly Father, will become stronger than ever. Will become deeper than ever. That on that day, when I'm called home, I can stand boldly in your presence. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving me another chance. I pray that my name will be written in the book of life and that you will take care of me as I walk in your ways. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for these ones who are here in front. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for the desire to even develop a deeper and a stronger relationship with you. I pray and I speak over them that indeed these ones are stable. These ones are planted. These ones are unmovable. These ones are established in you and in the ways of God. May they never fall. May they never look back. May they never backslide, oh God. Let a grace and anointing be given to them that will help them run their race of time. Thank you. Whatever I have asked for has been given. That these ones have become stronger and greater men and women of God who are preaching and displaying the great mysteries and oracles of the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father, for blessing their lives. In Jesus' name I pray, and somebody said amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.